Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we are back with part two of our update from trekmedics.org. Jason Friesen is here to relay some of the things that he's been going and doing and some of the additional exciting things going on with that organization and their nonprofit efforts to improve disaster and emergency communications for communities either at need because of a major incident like a hurricane, or emerging communities and communities without central resources in the emerging parts of the world. So let's go ahead and get on into this. We've got Jason coming on along with Sam Bradley, Kyle Nelson, and Dr. Joe Holly. And let's get into that second half of this special episode coming right up.
Joe, did you have any other thoughts or questions?
No, I'm fascinated to, you know, to hear the obviously the impact of the local, politics and social issues related to just cultural issues in implementing something like this, and how much variability there is in response capability and how that's managed.
It has certainly been a rich experience for us. It's you're kind of, you know, there when it started, so to speak, and seeing and being not just seeing, but being involved firsthand in what it takes to get a country's first formal system up and running. It's been a real rewarding experience, a real challenging experience too. By no means is the effort finished or perfect, but I'm real glad that we had a chance to be a part of it, and we just want to see it succeed and continue to support them as we can.
Well, it would be my guess, Jason, that anything you learn from any job you're working or any country you're working in, you can take challenges you may have overcome or some of the complications from here, and you know, you're that much wiser going to the next place. Would that be true?
Absolutely. You can't learn any of this in school, not in the textbook, though I feel like we could write a textbook at this point.
Oh, maybe. We'll talk about that down the road. Maybe we can help with that. But why don't we backtrack a bit and tell us what are some of the other things that Trek Medics has done and where?
So other programs that we've got going on are, of course, the programs that we started with from the beginning in the Dominican Republic and Tanzania. We've also got programs going on in Guatemala, Mexico, Costa Rica. I mentioned Malawi and in the United States as well. And one of the things that we're working on now, and Kyle was obviously, I mean, the entire podcast here is focused on this, we're in hurricane season right now. And one of the things that happened last time I was on the show, I remember there were three things that I said we were going to work on. And the first was this Malawi program. The second was a Cisco grant that we were hoping to get. And the third was something with opioids and overdose response networks. I'm pleased to say that two of those three came to fruition. And the first one was Malawi. The second one is the Cisco grant that we got from them. And what that was about was they wanted to know, because, you know, we built Beacon. Originally, the whole point was that you could set up basically a 911 communication system anywhere there is a mobile phone signal with whatever technology you were using, whether you're using SMS, feature phones, or smartphones. As long as you had a mobile phone signal, you could set up a dispatching system, your own CAD, so to speak. And so Cisco wanted to know, would it be possible to apply this to disasters and disaster response? And our answer was immediately, absolutely. In fact, some of the organizations that we've been supporting and have using our software in the Dominican Republic have already been using it for during hurricanes, especially in 2017. And so they asked us, you know, what would need it to be accessible to disaster response organizations so that, you know, given the challenges that they were facing and the needs that they had, it would be something practical and applicable and easy to set up. And so basically what we told them was there are a number of changes that we would have to make to really make it disaster friendly, so to speak. But one of the big ones was simply the onboarding process, you know, so that anybody could sign up, learn how to use Beacon, and in under 30 minutes, they could design, test, launch, and be ready to scale their own emergency communication system, their own CAD, without any help from us. And so over the past year, that's what we've been working on. And now we finally got the software to a place where we've met that criteria. We feel we've met that criteria. Of course, there's, you know, with any software, you can always make it better. There's always cool new features and bells and whistles you can add to it, but we're very happy with where it is right now. And so part of this grant from Cisco was that not only they want us to build the software, but of course they wanted us to deploy it. And so last year we got involved with two local grassroots disaster-based, you know, disaster response organizations. One is called Go Rescue, G-E-A-U-X, based in Florida. And the other was the Cajun Coast Search and Rescue Team out of Louisiana. And they're a canine search and rescue team. And both of them get requests from, you know, the local sheriffs or a volunteer fire department, can you come and help us with what we've got here? For Go Rescue, they were very much involved in Hurricane Michael. It wasn't Panama City, but it was right next to Panama City, where last year, no, it got leveled or just blown away by Hurricane Michael. And but because it wasn't in Panama City, it didn't have the press, right? So this was just a group of one of the guy who's in charge, George, is a Coast Guard vet, and he's got a team of dispatchers and responders, and they just go and provide search and rescue. They provide food and shelter. They do welfare checks, you know, for the communities that have been affected. And with the Cajun Coast Search and Rescue, they're doing they're bringing their canines all over. I think something like they're spread across 5 or 6 states, and they get calls from the sheriffs, you know, we got a search and rescue, we got a missing person, or, you know, we've got a crime, whatever it may be, can you bring people? And so they've been using our software, both of them, to dispatch their local responders. And so what we're doing now is we've actually opened up a grant program to find more organizations like these. And the reality is that, and Sam, you and I were talking about this earlier. The reality is that, as we've seen over the past few years, even the most advanced 911 system, even the most, you know, high-tech, well-funded emergency medical system can be overwhelmed very quickly by a bad storm. And, you know, when Hurricane Harvey blew through Houston, not only was the whole city flooded, but so were many of the fire stations, ambulance stations. You know, I think they had one high water, the fire department had one high water rescue vehicle, and it was in the shop at the time. And so now all of these grassroots organizations pop up, the Cajun Navy and, you know, those types of organizations, and they're going out there and providing, filling absolutely critical gaps. But they're doing it kind of on their own. And it lacks the coordination that certainly should be possible these days in the era we live with the technology we've got. And so what we're trying to do is say, you know, if you're using Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or even Zello, off-the-shelf technologies, those weren't really designed specifically for what you're doing. we think we might have a solution that could serve you better. And what we're offering is that there are, if there are organizations out there, grassroots organizations, that want to improve their communications and, you know, improve their coordination, their monitoring and evaluation, their data collection, all of the things that go into coordinating a large group of people over, you know, large areas. If they want to improve that by using our software, then, and to work with us to help improve, you know, how can we make this better? How can it better serve you? We're looking for a few good partners that we can establish a relationship, work together with. And for those partners that we find, we're offering up to $5,000 in unrestricted funds to cover their operating costs. Because the reality is, I just spoke to a group this morning, fascinating group called the Texas Rescue Project in West Texas around El Paso. And it's a former cop. You know, they're out in these rural areas where there's one firefighter, you know, and if something happens to you, riding ATVs at these trails that they go to called Redlands, it's like you're waiting an hour and a half for an ambulance. So they've set up a community-based organization to respond to these types of incidents, all of their own volition, you know, free will. They're out of literally paying out of their pocket. And the number one cost that they have is fuel. And so we know this is true for all of these organizations, that chances are their number one cost is fuel. And so instead of, you know, having to pay out of pocket for fuel, we can do exactly what other organizations have done for us. They said, you've got a great mission. We want to support it. Here's some funding. And we built the software. And now we're looking for partners that can work with us to make it better. And it's the same situation. We know they're doing great work. We know they're short on money. And we've got some money that we can raise to help with their costs. And so that's what we're offering. And that, too, I'll mention, the application for that is also posted on our website at trekmedics.org. And if you just go to the homepage, you'll see a button right next to the job application button. And we encourage, you know, anyone interested, send us an application. Let us know. We'd love to talk more.
So, Joe, I would think you'd have some groups like that in Tennessee.
Well, you know, we do, and we've had several conversations about, you know, a lot of variability amongst those groups. I think the great thing about Trek Medics is, you know, those folks get vetted a little bit. They get, you know, you know what you're getting, as opposed to a guy who says he's there for all the right reasons, but in reality is not. So thanks to Trek Medics for all that great work.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're right on with that. It's there is a lot of what I understand are they're called emergent groups or spontaneous volunteers, and the reality is a lot of it is hit or miss, and some of these groups are professionals, and you know, they know what they're doing and they're totally capable. And they have high standards for what they're doing. There are other groups where, you know, it's more inspiration than preparation. And what we really want to do is help those groups that are, you know, filled with professionals, with experienced people, to help them formalize a bit more. And you know, if they go for state grants looking for funding, the state's going to turn around and say, well, show us the data. And, well, one thing that our platform can do for you is it can record every movement that any of your responders make in terms of their response activities. And so you hit a print button and there you go. You can show every single incident you responded to, how quickly you got there, where you came from, and what it was for. And I think that having that kind of professionalization of your services can go a long way in helping these volunteer groups solidify their existence and pull them a little bit away from the, you know, hand-to-mouth nature that a lot of them operate under.
You know, Jason, I was thinking that, you know, that there's a lot of you know, growth that I see going on with how you've built this project out. You've made these, you've gotten these relationships with companies like Cisco. You know, you're associated with the World Bank. How do you take an organization that started where you did, and you know, you're talking about the scaling issues you're having with, you know, getting the people to fill some of these positions. But from your standpoint at the top of the food chain, what's it like in growing, you know, at a pretty rapid pace over the last 10 years?
Oh, it's, I appreciate the top of the food chain. It is not a very long food chain, admittedly. But I'll tell you that there's a podcast, which I'll just mention, that I like to listen to called How I Built This. And it's basically these guys from this show called Planet Money. And they interview founders. And I was listening to an interview with the founder of Burton Snowboards. And you know, he was talking about growth, and these days you hear a lot, it's almost the expectation. This actually, I get this all the time and it really works against us, but you hear about these tech companies with explosive growth overnight, you know? And at the beginning, when we first started, that was one, what I wanted, and two, what I expected. And it never happened. It hasn't happened. And I actually think it's a good thing. And this is what the guy Jake Burton was talking about, was one of the things that helped him succeed. Because Jake Burton, you know, invented a sport that's now in the Olympics, right? And so this guy has gone from just an idea to global presence. And what he said was every year, just gradual, consistent growth, managed growth. And I think that that's one of the things that, not necessarily purposely, but one of the things that has helped us is that we have been growing gradually and consistently, and we've never gotten out of our debt, you know, into deep water that we couldn't stay afloat in. And so, you know, you always want growth and you want expansion, but at what cost? And this is one of the things that I think that a lot of people said to us, you know, you're a nonprofit organization. Not only a nonprofit, but you're a nonprofit tech organization. You know, what are you thinking? And I think that this is one of the benefits that being a nonprofit has afforded us, is that we haven't had investors driven by profits pushing us in directions we didn't want to go. And, you know, one of the things that I always thought about when I started TrekMedics was I knew I wanted to be involved in communities, resource limited communities, vulnerable communities, you know, people who really needed emergency medical care. And I knew that if I had a feeling that if we were a for-profit company with investors, there was a very good chance that we would end up building ambulance services for rich people in poor countries. And that's just not what I wanted to do. Because once you take money basically on loan, you know, from investors, and you got to pay them back, once you take that money, you give them depending on how much you take and, you know, what it's worth, what your company's worth, you give them a stake in not only in your company, but in the decisions that get made. And I think that one of the things about being a nonprofit organization that has helped us keep our focus on vulnerable and resource limited communities is the fact that we don't owe anybody money. Now there are a lot of disadvantages to being a nonprofit. I'll tell you that much. That's for sure. But it's like anything in life, you know, there are trade-offs, good things and bad things. And you just try to make do with what you've got.
So Kyle, any final thoughts from you as we wind down here?
Well, just wanted to say that I was scrolling through. I'm a big fan of TED Talks, if anyone looks at those, and couldn't help but see that Jason recently had a TEDx talk at Columbia University that was posted as well.
Cool.
Indeed. Yes, we did.
I'll have to find it.
Shout out for that.
That's pretty awesome. We'll have a link to that in the show notes, folks, so that you can find it yourselves.
Well, hopefully, Jason, you get a lot of response on all the things we talked about. We have a pretty thriving community out there. I'm blown away by the stuff you're doing, and I really like the fact that you're, you know, these ad hoc groups, emergent groups that are coming out and have been so helpful because the need was there to do it because of the nature of the disaster, and helping them get more organized and have better communication. I think that's completely awesome. So, Jamie, I'm going to throw it back to you because we got to wind down here pretty much in the next few minutes, and go ahead and take us out.
Well, you know, Jason has just talked about the need for organization and growth and to do things slowly and steadily, you know, and we've had that belief here at the podcast. That's kind of how I've built all my shows is, you know, believing that if I put out a quality product with people I'm working with, that we'll garner a community. And we've done that. We've got the Disaster Podcast Facebook group that is vibrant, that is full of experts in a variety of fields that all chime in when a question pops up to lend their expertise. And that's good. That's true as well for our partners at Paragon Medical Education Group with Joe and Jim and the rest of the gang that bring very positive experiential knowledge to training and organizations that need to prepare for that unexpected but disastrous event. And Joe, you guys are really good at customizing, at working within people's budgetary needs, finding the way to meet their needs in a specific way that maybe they haven't even thought of yet. And that's why you like to have them get a hold of you and talk face to face or at least phone to phone.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jamie. You know, it we appreciate that everything is a little bit different. Every training scenario, every opportunity is different, and that we need to set up our program to do whatever it is we need to do for those folks. So we always welcome them to give us a call so we can talk through the almost endless options that we can do for them.
And where can they do that, Joe? I mean, where can folks best reach out to you?
You can find us on the web at ParagonMedicalGroup.com or on Facebook at Paragon Medical Group, and always reach us through the Disaster Podcast.
Great. And we do appreciate the ongoing support that you lend to this show so that we can continue to bring amazing guests like Jason to the group. And Jason, as we kind of roll through here, do you have one last anything else you'd like to share? Ways people can reach out to you? I know we got trekmedics.org. That's TrekMedics.org. Anywhere else they can find you or follow what you guys are up to?
Yeah, thank you very much. We are also find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, of course. But anybody who's interested in reaching out to us, they can find plenty of links on our website or send us an email at info@trekmedics.org. And we're always glad to hear from people who are interested in getting involved or if we can support them. It's just, for me, it's really rewarding when we hear from new people. So thanks for the chance to come back on the show and visit with you guys and give you an update. And as always, I love what you're doing here, too.
Well, and you know, you've done a great job of just continuing to come back with great information and updates. And, you know, we'd love to have you back the next time you have something new to talk about, because this is the... You know, this is one of the most exciting things, I think, going on in the emergency response community on a worldwide basis right now is the stuff you're doing, bringing high-tech emergency medical services to communities, as you've said, that are currently at a disadvantage for a variety of reasons. And So you bring an you bring infrastructure to places that don't seem to necessarily have infrastructure, which is a pretty amazing thing to do. So thanks a lot for all you do.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Thank you.
We'll travel along with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kyle, where can folks find you?
Well, Jamie, folks can find me on all the social medias under the handle WXKyleNelson. So feel free to follow along with my adventures there or connect with me on LinkedIn.
And thank you, as always, for your weather expertise, your dispatch expertise, and all the stuff you bring to the show. You really have made it a very rich place. So thank you for that. Sam, where can folks find you?
Well, usually where you can find Kyle, the usual social media places under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11, in our disaster podcast group on Facebook. And I don't know, Jason, if you're hooked up to that, but you certainly should be, because that way people can shoot out questions to you. And, of course, on the disasterpodcast.com website. What about you, Jenny?
Well, you can find me under the handle Podmedic on most social media platforms. And, you know, just this is a great example of how each and every one of us can make a difference in small ways and large ways and everything in between, just by taking something, an idea, and trying to make a difference with it. And, you know, Jason's an inspiration to me and a lot of other people out there. And I know Sam and I always enjoy having him back here on the show. But Sam, you know, this is just, you know, it's an example of how we can make such a difference in the world.
Yeah, and one medic with an idea. Look where he's gone with it. So, again, amazing. But, you know, this is another good example of how things work. And I'm glad that he mentioned the disaster piece. I think that's something that can really grow from this. So I guess we could say that disaster communication is not our everyday communication.